I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. So I want to talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and His Majesty King Jesus. And we're going to be in Colossians, the first chapter, starting with the 15th verse, reading through the 19th verse, and a couple other verses we're going to throw in later. So Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the wonderful things that we read in Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You created us. You brought us into this place today. You lived among us. You died for us. And You provide salvation for anyone who calls upon Your name. We're just so thankful, Lord, for all that You've done for us. I just pray, Lord, that You will help us to get and glean the things that You intend for us to learn from this lesson today. And we give You praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. We don't care much for kings, queens in this country. We fought a war back, oh, I can't remember it even. It's 1776, so it was a little while before I was born. And we kicked those guys out. Now we have one of their subjects here this morning. My granddaughter is a British subject, and she has to bow to the king or curtsy. She says, she's a little too much like her grandfather. She has a British passport, a French passport, an American passport, and she is a citizen in all three countries. So, yeah, so I can just do all kinds of things when she's present. Yeah, these guys, I love that picture, too. He looks like he's zoning out a little, doesn't he? yeah, let's go ahead and make fun of him. Why not? So, as Americans, we love our freedom. We love our self-determination. And we just have a little struggle, I think, sometimes. At least I have. I've had a trouble wrapping my mind around a king and serving a king. But the truth is, Jesus is a king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And we don't really have self-determination in where we spend our lives or what we spend our lives upon. We can either follow the king of this world, who's Satan, or we can follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Two choices, and that's it. There's only two. There's only two that you can follow. There's all kinds of religions. There's a multitude of religions. But the Christian religion is the only true religion. God gave mankind a choice of going our own way or following Him. We have a choice. And when we choose to follow Jesus, we make a choice to give up worldly values in order to gain salvation and freedom from sin and eternity with God. So Jesus is a king, and He's king over the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is not a democracy. Oh my goodness. We don't get a vote. We do not get a vote. We follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or we follow the King of this earth, and that's pretty much it. So the critical focus is upon Christ and upon the fact that He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn all over all creation. And we need to get our lives into focus upon that one thing. I read a story about this guy that bought a brand new computer, and which I would know nothing about anyway, but it was one of the desk versions with the towers, and he brought it home and he connected everything and he was getting ready to pair it with his printer and whatever else you pair computers with, and he turned it on and nothing happened. And he picked up his cell phone now and he's going to call the guy that sold him the computer and find out what's wrong. And his little six-year-old daughter comes bouncing into the room. "Oh, Daddy, what a nice new computer. Can I plug it in?" Yeah. That's pretty much the way it is for us. We have a tendency to concentrate on details and forget Jesus. We have a tendency to concentrate on human systems and lose sight of Christ. You know, I mean, you listen to the news a lot. The pastor tells us all the time to not watch the news. And so far, I'm not a very good student of his. I watch the news. But you get to watching that stuff, and you get to listening to that stuff, and you start thinking things are important that aren't important. And you get to thinking people are important that aren't important. And you lose sight of the fact that there's only really one thing that's really important in our lives, and that is following Jesus as our Savior. We concentrate on human authorities and we forget all authority resting in Jesus Christ. We forget that all power is in Christ alone. It resides in Christ. And that's the reality. So anybody that comes to you with theories, oh man, as a pastor for 50 years and before that I was a student and before that I was a kid, but I'm telling you, I've had so many theories placed before me. And I'll tell you what, anyone who comes with theories and ideas that draw your eyes off of Christ and off of the truth of what he has said, you need to avoid those people. And I'm like, well, you're not supposed to avoid people, you're supposed to witness to them. There's some people you need to avoid, period. They're just bad news. And the culture we live in can undermine the sense of majesty that we actually have of Christ. One of my favorite stories, and I'm pretty sure I used it here before once, but you don't remember it because I forgot until I saw it again this week. There was a Danish king way back, and his name was Canute, King Canute. You know, he's one of my forefathers. I'm part Dane, part Norwegian. My grandfather said that made me a Swede, but I don't think that's true. King Canute, all his people in his court were just showering him with praise and telling him how powerful he was and how great he was. And he just got sick of it and he says, "Follow me." And they took him out to the seashore and the big rollers are coming in and the waves are coming in and Canute goes, "Stop." And the waves kept coming in and he looks at his people and he says, "Am I God? Only God can stop the waves." And we know the story of Jesus in the boat and all that. We know that story. And so, I mean, you realize the truth of that, that only Jesus, only God can stop the storms. Only God is all powerful. And King Canute had a really good point to make with his followers. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He came to give us a visible expression of a God who is invisible. We haven't literally seen Christ, but people who followed him for 3 years in the New Testament times, the disciples, the apostles, the people who wrote the gospels, the people who wrote the letters, they have given us a written description of what Jesus is exactly like. And Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." So, if you know Jesus, you also know the Father who is God, and Jesus is God. Okay, that's confusing. It's a triune. Can I make it? Yeah, there. Nah, it's a bad triangle. I used to be able to make a really good triangle. But we have a triune God. We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have Jesus Christ, we have us, and we have the Holy Spirit. And so it all works into these triangles. That's the way God has done everything. It's very remarkable to me, the creativity that mankind has. God created us with a great deal of creativity. We've been having some fun with Penn, and we went, you probably didn't notice we weren't here, but we weren't here last week. We were camping, and we did a ghost town tours, and we saw some amazing things, really. We went to the ghost town of Coolidge, and my word, they had a huge mill beside a huge mine. There were 3,000 people occupying that town at one time, and everything was brought in by wagons and horses. A huge mill, actually, that was built. And then somebody went to the trouble of tearing it down and picking it out. I suppose some rancher got a big shed out of the thing. There was a lot of Montanans are clever like that. And then we went to a town called Glendale. And there was a smelter there, and then 5 miles up the road, there were charcoal kilns, these big old kilns. They were as high as the ceiling in here, huge kilns. I mean, when something looks huge to me, it's really huge. And it was amazing. And once again, by wagons and everything else. I've been to skyscrapers. I was up in the, we made a mistake. We didn't go up in the Twin Towers. We went up in the Empire State Building. I wished I'd gone up into the Twin Towers, because then I could say, well, I was up there before they went down. But the Empire State Building's an amazing building. The skyscrapers are amazing things. The thing that astounds me the most is space exploration. And when our government run one went down, Elon Musk started SpaceX, and they're doing amazing stuff. Technology just blows my mind. I didn't bring it with me today. I have new earphones, hearing aids, and I can adjust them with my cell phone. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun, because I can turn you all way down. I didn't bring it with me, by the way, but I could turn you all way down or way up. And you can't do that with me. Theoretically. Nothing worth it. Theoretically, these hearing aids should quiet me down a little bit, because I can hear a lot I'm talking. We'll see how that works. You just don't know. But the flip side of that is, man can be incredibly cruel. Incredibly cruel. There's so many horrible things, along with studying history and reading the things that went on in past years. And we watched with Penelope the, you've probably seen this, the movie Amazing Grace. Yeah, what was a powerful movie. I hadn't watched it in several years, but man, that's powerful. It's all about the getting rid of slavery. But they went into detail of what slaves went through. And it's just how cruel mankind can be to other men. And then, North Africa, oh my goodness, the cruelty that goes on there. And the thing that's more in my mind is the Ukraine and the horrible things that go on down there. Man can be incredibly cruel. Man can be incredibly brilliant, and man can be incredibly cruel. We cannot measure ourselves with ourselves as a result. The only way that we can really get a true measure of who we are, the only way that we can get a true focus of who we are, is to compare ourselves with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you measure yourself against the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that's the true measure of who you are. The Holy Spirit, Jesus came into the world, He died, He rose again, He sent the Holy Spirit into the heart of every believer. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God, my belief is the Holy Spirit of God is the one who calls you to Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God begins to work in your life when you give your heart to Jesus, and He begins to make you into His image. I've got pretty much the whole chapter of 1 John memorized, but I just popped into my mind this morning, John chapter 3, verse 2, when we see Him, we will be like Him. When we see Jesus in heaven, we're going to be like Him, because He is at work in our hearts and in our lives. As we live our lives in this world, Jesus is working on us. It's so important for us to be aware of the fact that God is perfecting us. He's making us more like him every day that we live. That's why it's so important to pray every day. That's why it's so important to read some scripture every day. Our Pastor Jim advertises the devotionals back here. I know him. I even know one of the guys that writes. Yeah, there you go. Daily Bread. Yeah, get one of those and just, I mean, they're short, they're easy to read, just a verse or two. There, and it'll keep you growing in Christ. It will keep you in tune with him so that he can continue to change you. Every one of us is deeply flawed. We're all deeply flawed. I've met a few people that thought they were perfect. One time I was on a committee on the Black Hills, and this lady told me that her church was perfect, and I was like, okay, I've pastored for a long time. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no perfect church. And I told her, I said, no, your church isn't perfect. She says, well, yes, it is. And I said, no, I know it's not perfect. She said, well, how do you know? I said, you attend there. I don't know. She kind of asked for it. But you know, 1 John talks about the fact that we stand before him, we're going to be just like him. And, you know, last fall, September, I had kind of thought I was going to get to stand before him, but apparently I'm still not where I need to be. He's got work to do in my life. I'm still here sucking air, you know. Yeah. When Christ is ready for you, he will call you home. And there's also, I think, a great miracle that takes place sometime between the time we draw our last breath and the time we see Jesus, which is pretty much a moment. But in a moment, the Apostle Paul said this, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. You can look for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 if you want to look for it. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. There's a miracle that will take place, by the way. When you draw your last breath, you'll be ushered into the presence of Jesus, and you'll be like him. We will all be changed. That's a great thing to look forward to, by the way. Not that I'm trying to hurry my death. I talked to an old guy yesterday, was in my church down in Connor, and I didn't have any idea how old he was. I was telling somebody this morning, I look at people, and I'm like, I don't know how old they are. And I used to kind of have some sense if people were older than me or younger than me, some sense of that, and then anymore I don't. So I asked him, I said, how old are you, Melvin? 86. And I said, ah, no wonder I'm still here. Because he was a preacher as long as I was. There's so many distractions, and there's so many cults and different things that come around, and they always try to tear the scriptures apart. They always try to say that Jesus isn't who he says he is. Verse 15 said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so the cults want to say, well, yeah, he's created. They take that verse and they say, he's created. Well, no, really, they should have read a little further. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. He rose from the dead. That's our great hope, the resurrection from the dead. That's our great hope. So that in everything we might have this, he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him, and to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross. So they'll come to you and they'll say, well, you know, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Or they'll come to you and say, well, I'm Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But they water down who Christ is. They say he's created. He's just like us. We're going to be like him. Well, yeah, we're going to be like him when we see him. But it's a miracle that he takes place. He is not a created being. By definition, then, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 John 1:1, I think I did give that to Marie. there you go. Excuse me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. Continually in existence. There's another thing I have a trouble wrapping my mind around. Continually in existence. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is eternal. He is in charge of everything that is created. All things have been created through him and for him. In the United States of America, if we go strictly by the Constitution, the President of the United States is Commander-in-Chief. But the President of the United States, as Commander-in-Chief, is subject to the Constitution. Therefore, the President works in and through the Constitution. The Scripture here says that God the Father works in and through the Son. He is our head. He is the head of everything. And unless we get this into our hearts, it's good to kind of get it in your heads, but getting it in your hearts is another whole thing. But when we get it in our hearts, realizing that Jesus is God, the significance of his death and resurrection becomes extremely important to us. If we don't get that in our hearts, the significance of his death and resurrection will elude us. He's the pre-existent one who laid aside his glory. He assumed our humanity, and he stepped down into our life. He is before all things, and he's after all things. We like our tenses in English. I assume my granddaughter's studying English. I know she is. Have you studied the tenses, past, present, and future? Oh, you're going to get that. She's got another year of English or two. So, we think in past, present, and future. Well, here's the way it is with Christ. In the past, he's present. In the present, he's present. And the future, he's present. He's in the past. He's in the present. And he's in the future. He's eternal. Whew. That's heady stuff. I don't have time to do a theology class with you. I'll leave that to Pastor Jim. I don't mind causing problems for him. And he holds all things together. Jesus holds all things together. Oh, that hurt. This is solid. Whew, look at that. Solid. Well, no, actually, it's not solid. It's made up of atoms, like everything. There's a subatomic particle called the neutrino. I learned about the neutrino when I lived in Deadwood, South Dakota, because in the city of lead, there is a mine, and the word lead means, in mining, the word lead means they're following a vein of ore. A lot of people come through that are from other places and they call it lead, but it's not. It's spelled the same way, but it's lead because it's following, you're following. And that mine goes 1 mile into the earth through solid rock. So when they got to the end of where there wasn't any more gold ore, they let it fill back up with water, so it's full of water. So the University of Pennsylvania and Stanford University got together, and they got some government funds like they do, and they decided to put a physics lab in the bottom of it, so they pumped the water all back out of it, and there's a physics lab in the bottom of Homestake Mine. And the reason they have that physics lab is because they're studying neutrinos. They had to go that deep because there's nothing else passing through the earth, but neutrinos are going through the earth all the time. I don't want to creep you out, but right now you have neutrinos going through you. Makes Brenda feel itchy. They're really itty bitty, really itty bitty, really, really itty bitty. Splitting the atom creates great power. It can create great destructive power, as in the atom bomb, but it also creates clean energy. And Penn's a citizen of France. France is way ahead of most all other nations because they have put a bunch of atomic power plants, and they are net producers of energy. They sell electricity all over Europe. And I don't know why we're not doing that. But that's all political. We don't get into politics here. But boy, they should do that. So Jesus holds all things together. Back during World War II, I've been studying some of my dad's stuff, and I've got some reports that he had. He was a lieutenant junior grade in the Navy during World War II. And I inherited some of his reports. I was reading some of that stuff. And so I kind of have an understanding of the whole everything that happened. But there were so many nations came together to fight the Axis powers. The United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, Norway, Belgium. We even got the Russians and the Chinese involved. And I shouldn't forget the Free French were involved. Now, if every one of those nations and every one of those groups did their own thing, they never would have won the war. What they had to have was a supreme commander. The reason I like this so much is because his name was Dwight. Dwight D. Eisenhower. My mother swore up and down I wasn't named after Dwight D. Eisenhower, but it seems really strange to me that not only was I named Dwight in 1946, but I had two cousins that were named Dwight, and we're three Dwight Petersons, too many for the world, right? Actually, I've run into quite a few Dwight Petersons. There was one in Oklahoma City that was a naughty Dwight Peterson. He had bad credit, and every time I took a loan or did anything, I had to sign an affidavit, I am not the bad Dwight Peterson. I never got a hold of him, but I'd like to have. So in Jesus Christ, he puts all things together. He puts all things together. He puts everything back the way it should be. The cults tell you they have all truth. No, they don't. They tell you they have all kinds of emanations and spiritual eyesight and mysteries. I had one guy, I don't know if he was even a cult, but he was sure mixed up, came to me one time and he was going to explain to me the mystery of Christ. And, you know, the scripture that we read pretty much spells out that Christ is the mystery, and when we know him, we know the mystery of Christ. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through the Holy Spirit, all of that is available to us as people. What a privilege. Through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, earth or heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I'm going to use some real scientific terms now that I really know well. When mankind fell, everything got out of whack. Society got out of whack. Ecology got out of whack. Tension got out of whack. Disease got out of whack. Heartache got out of whack. And then the final scientific term, everything got unglued. I don't know. That's all going to change when God puts everything back together again. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Meanwhile, all nature waits to be delivered. You know, Jesus loves us so much. He allows the problems that we have, but he loves us through our problems. He loves us through our sorrow. He brings us through all of those things to the other side of the problem. Okay, let's do a conclusion. We want to get down to the cafe before the Baptists get there. Got to hurry, right? Tell him every day what he means to you. Think about the sacrifice he made for you. Think about the care that he gives you now. And brag about him to other people. Do you ever brag about Jesus? Do you ever brag about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to other people? I do. Just want you to know, I'm not just saying this. I do. I got a neighbor that looks at me like I've got two heads often. But I think he's starting to come around. He might as well give up, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm still around, another 10 years maybe. I put some other scriptures in here, Marie, but in 119 is also in 2:9, Colossians 2:9 is also a repeat of Colossians 1:19. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. All that makes God, God, is invested in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're interested in truth, look to Jesus. If you're interested in life, look to Jesus. If you're interested in righteousness, look to Jesus. In the incarnation, he stepped out of glory and he dwelt among man. In the crucifixion, he died for us. In his ascension, I don't know if we celebrate Ascension Day as often as we should. It's on the Christian calendar. I don't know that we need a day to celebrate Ascension Day. But in the ascension, we have the hope and we have access to the Father. He died for us. He lived among us. Did you know that he prays for you? Do you know Jesus is praying for you right now? Do you know Jesus knows you by name? He does. It says so in the Bible. Actually, if you want to find out where he prays for us, just look to 1 John chapter 2. Read that. It's good stuff. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying for us. So let's make this real simple. God runs Christianity. Satan is the deceiver. He runs the cults. Satan's a counterfeit. Do you know what a counterfeit is? I don't know if I'd have to probably buy some good bills and compare them with some bad bills, but a counterfeit is so close to the real thing you can hardly tell the difference. Satan is a counterfeit. He's the one who deceives, and he's the one who leads people away from God. In Christ, who is the mystery of God, is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus Christ. All truth is God's truth. Something that drives me nuts and I dare not get into it is people going around, well, my truth is this, maybe not your truth, my truth. No, there's only one truth. There's only one truth, Jesus. That's the only truth there is. Anything that opposes Christ is wrong. He is the one who ultimately will rule and reign, and when everything is made subject to him, we will once again live the way God wanted us to live before those evil great-grandparents of mine sinned, Adam and Eve. They're also your great-grands. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the truth of this word, and I just pray, God, that you will apply this to our hearts. And whatever I've said poorly, Lord, you can translate into the heart and the life of every person. And I just give you praise for the wonderful things that we have because we are your children. In Jesus' name, amen.